Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Lieutenant General Robert Farrell, the Army CIO and G6. General, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Well, it's my pleasure to spend some time with you today to tell our story of what's going on in the Army.
Well, you are fairly new. You took over for Lieutenant General Lawrence just back in January, so it's been about almost 6 months now. Discuss your background a little. How did you come into the CIO position?
Well, I've been in the Army now over 33 years, and as I look back at my background, I spent a lot of time in corps and divisions and echelons above corps doing the tactical signal jobs. And then I've also have experience in the Special Operations Command, TRADOC, been in the Pentagon. This is my fifth tour in the Pentagon. Spent time on the Army staff, both working congressional affairs as well as working future combat system, as well as working on the OSD staff. Had some time there in Human Resources Command, working the personnel assignment matters. Also had some time in the joint community where I was the J6 there at AFRICOM there in Stuttgart, Germany, with three overseas tours there in Germany, one in Korea, time in Bosnia, and then time in Iraq. Provided me a good rounded background, I believe, that is best suited for this position.
Wow, fifth tour at the Pentagon. Does that mean you know your way around, or even on the fifth time?
Well, I would tell you that no. Even on the fifth tour, I'm still finding my way of trying to navigate through the hallways. But good folks here on the fifth tour, you know, I still have the opportunity to see some folks that were here on the second or third turn.
You know, you seem to be quite a bit across the board, you know, working at TRADOC, Special Ops, you said AFRICOM, you said Korea, Iraq, and then, but also in the HR world and then on the OSD staff. I mean, it seems like you bring kind of all those different experiences together to really kind of accentuate what you need to do at the CIO role, because you all those pieces come together on the CIO. So it sounds to me like the learning curve probably hasn't been too much for you. Give me a sense of how things have been going over the last 6 months.
There's always a learning curve in any job that you go into. And for me, coming in behind General Lawrence, during her watch, her main focus, in my opinion, was really supporting Iraq and Afghanistan, and then really supporting the fight and building the network, sustaining the network, and then modernizing the post camps and station here in the United States. Coming in Chapter 2, as I referred to it, I still have some of the similar requirements, still sustaining the requirements that are in Afghanistan, but we're still moving the ball forward on modernization of our post camps and station, as well as taking a look at the tactical comms and how do we see the requirements will be in 2025 and beyond.
We're going to get into each of those, because I think a lot of those were the previous priorities when I spoke with General Lawrence a couple years ago. But is the biggest change just overseeing such a large organization, or understanding the broader set of needs and capabilities and priorities versus, you know, if you worked under, you mentioned the future combat systems, you just had to maybe really focus on what the future combat systems needs were?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It's a different lens sitting here as a CIO G6. In previous jobs, I would just say it was a section of the Army, a piece of the Army. Well, as a CIO in G6, I look at the total Army, both the active duty component, the reserves, and the National Guards, and then look at their requirement for IT and their modernization requirements, and then both on the operational side of how do we here in the CIO G6 support that need for the warfighters that's on the edge.
I want to jump into some of those older priorities. First one you got to start with is enterprise email. That has been in many ways a shining example of what a service can do, or what in talked more broadly about government, an agency can do when they really put their mind to it and move. You think it was something to the effect of 1.43 million users finished migration last summer. We're now almost a year into that completed migration. Talk about the enterprise email, the benefits, the savings, and what comes next around, you know, email in the service. What's that open up for you guys?
For the warfighters, using DoD enterprise email means whenever, wherever they are, they can use their email. Whenever they need it, it will be available. It is not necessary to start a new email account where you move or deploy. So essentially, when you come into the service, you'll be assigned an email, and it will stay to you like cradle to grave. It won't change no matter where you move station to station. It is as mobile as the service member. The enterprise email also supports DoD's adoption of the joint information environment, which enables the seamless collaboration among the services. We're saving millions of dollars for the Army by leveraging the buying power of the entire department. Enterprise email has reduced email costs by tens of millions of dollars per year. When I look at the DoD enterprise email, it also provides a joint capability that are not available in the service unique or organization specific email systems. And now the user can access the DoD global access address list, or as we've referred to it as the GAL, from anywhere. All common access cards holder, along with their professional contact information, are automatically entered into the GAL. When you look at enterprise email, it is only one facet of the Army network modernization. The Army is also transitioning from a unified capability or a unified pilot to a unified solution. We're closing countless data centers, over 235 so far. We're migrating applications and data to the cloud. We're creating enterprise-wide licensing agreements. We're expanding our bandwidth and closing our security gaps. And as you look at other items, we are establishing a real game changer through mobility pilots. These initiatives create a single end-to-end network that enables the Army of 2020 and beyond. That we're currently working on during my watch as the CIO G6.
You went through a lot of stuff there, so let me just back up for a sec. When you talk about the savings, you said tens of millions of dollars. This is obviously based on what the Army was spending previously and what they're spending now, or is there more to it in terms of, are you seeing savings in other areas?
Well, we see it a combination of what we have spent in the past, and then again, the requirements, again, to build and build more requirements for the workforce to maintain and manage of closing new and building new accounts for enterprise for email address for users.
It's interesting because I'm sure you've got the cradle to grave emails. Probably sounds something like that would have been nice for you when you came in, you know, 30 plus years ago. How many times have you gotten new email addresses over the years?
Well, I've been in like the Army again over 3 decades, and I would just tell you, in 24 moves, each move required me to change my email address. And again, trying to identify a population of identifying when you move, it really was a very challenging event for anyone, any leader, any soldier to kind of keep up with you.
The global address list, the GAL, as you call it, that's something that I know was a requirement that came from OSD. A lot of the other services met that requirement. My understanding is I talked to, for instance, General Nally over at the Marine Corps. How much of a benefit is that? Because on the surface, it seems like, well, what's the big deal? You have one list. Shouldn't you have already had one list? From your perspective as someone who needs to contact maybe different people within the Army, but different people across all of DoD, is something having just something simple as a global access list that big of a deal?
It is a big deal. To me, having a one-stop shopping place where you can find, regardless of your service, an individual really helps us from an efficiency and an operational aspect of just doing day-to-day business.
And it's the simple things sometimes that make a difference. You know, you don't think about it, but the convenience of it. The other thing you mentioned was a couple pilot that are moving to a bigger area. One of them was you said transitioning from a unified pilot to unified solutions. And then you also talk about mobility. Can you first address what you meant by the unified pilot to unified solutions? That's part of the network modernization, if I'm correct?
Our partner, which is the Defense Information System Agency, is assisting the Army with the Unified Capability pilots. And that is they're working with iPads, iPhones. And when you talk about Unified Capability, we're looking at how do we move, untether the soldier from the instrument and then move them everything over voice over IP. When I say everything, I'm referring to the telephone, the VTCs, the chats, and the pilots, again, initiated by DISA, is using some instruments now with the iPad and iPhone. And then we are now also doing some testing of the VTC capability on that. And so at the end state, again, for the Army, we would like to see that unified capability within our formation that will allow us or allow the soldier from anywhere be able to access their email, do VTC, do telephone, that's not tied to their office instruments, that you can do that at any location over IP.
So eventually you can even have a phone number that follows you throughout your entire life as well in the service.
Essentially, yes.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about maybe some older priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Robert Farrell, the Army CIO and G6. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Robert Farrell, the Army CIO and G6. Now, General, before break, we're talking a little bit about some older priorities. One of them was the unified capability and the email service. One of the other priorities at the time that I spoke with the Army CIO a couple years ago was the upgrade to post-camp stations networks. And I think the data center consolidation is built in there. The cloud is built in there as well. So let's first start with the status of the effort around the modernization, the upgrade for post-camps and stations networks.
We're removing bandwidth as a bottleneck to our warfighters by improving the readiness along with reducing our cost. The capacity upgrades are enabling web-based training for our Army's distribution learning. The upgrades that also support our home station mission command training with installation as a docking station and split-based operation for less boots on the ground. So essentially, we're trying to, again, removing bandwidth as a requirement. Right now, our biggest push is upgrading to a multi-protocol labeling switching, which allows information to move faster. As part of the MPLS effort, we are boosting the Army's backbone bandwidth from 10 gigabytes per second to 100 gigabytes per second and increasing installations to 10 gigabytes per second, which is at least 10 times more on the installation and 100 times more there on the backbone. We procured 13,000 switches last year and are in the process of installing it at 9 posts right now. The Army is buying 20,000 plus more switches this year to continue the effort. On the security side, we are working with the Defense Information System Agency, or DISA, on a joint regional security stack, or we call it from an acronym side of the house, to JRSS. Right now, DOD has over 700 top-level security stacks worldwide. We are drastically reducing this defensive footprint down to 23 worldwide, with 11 of which will be in CONUS, which will be a much more defendable perimeter for our network. With our Air Force and DISA partners, we have just stood up this spring the first pairing of a new switching and security stack at our Joint Base San Antonio location, which will they'll be operational by October of this year. Network capacities are a critical enabler to the cloud and data center consolidation efforts. Moving everything to the cloud, we will be able to use a centralized joint service offering such as enterprise email, unified capabilities, individual My Documents storage hosted at the Department of Defense level, and our office productivity tools. We're finding savings because of bulk buying, and we are using Soldier and Airmans to expedite this modernization effort. When I refer to data center consolidation, the efforts is we went through and identified all of the data centers that we currently have, and we've identified now over 1,000 data centers that we have to close. About a year and a half ago, Ms. Terry DeCaia, DOD CIO, sent out a memo asking all services to close data centers and then move that requirement to the DISA DEX, which is a DISA managed data centers. Well, we're about 50% there when it comes to closing data centers. We're now focused on how do we move the application, software applications, to the cloud and killing those applications that are no longer required, that will not be a part of an enterprise solution.
All right. So, again, a lot there. You got a lot going on. Let me start with the one. You mentioned you just stood up in the springtime the first pairing of a new switching security stack at the San Antonio location. This is, as you said, to be clear, in collaboration with the Air Force?
Yes. And that's to me, that's a game change. You know, this is when we are partnering side by side with a sister service on this joint venture at a joint base, which is in San Antonio, where we sit down and do weekly meetings, IPRs, and acquisition, and looking at roles and responsibility, along with our DISA partner, along with our acquisition partner, and along with our command, NETCOM, that's helping us install that in the end at Joint Base San Antonio. So it's been a very huge collaboration effort, with my observation, a win-win for Department of Defense that I believe that will be an enduring effort throughout this entire process. This journey started back in early 2013. It was a pilot back then. Now it's got to the point in October timeframe, we'll be able to turn on a switch and pass data, both from the Air Force side of the house and the Army side of the house, over the Joint Regional Security Stack and over the MPLS cloud, which is the first step on, again, standing at the cloud for the Army and Air Force.
How does the JIE fit into this? Because it seems like it's a perfect fit, because in many ways it is a joint environment.
And you just hit the nail on the head. In our assessment, by standing up the Joint Regional Security Stack, it's a symbolic effort in increment one that we will transition the oversight of a service-managed network to a joint-managed network, managed by Defense Information System Agency, DISA.
Because there's a lot of joint bases out there, whether it's with the Air Force or other parts of the services. How often do you expect this type of collaborative effort to happen?
Just to give you the macro plan when it comes to this collaborative effort, both the Air Force and the Army has sat down and looked at all CONUS base locations. We have looked at the overseas locations, and we've looked at how do we, again, partner through that entire process. We've met with the Air Force Space Commander last week and laid out our strategy and efforts there at Joint Bases San Antonio. And then walking out of that meeting, we walked away with, again, an assurance that we will continue to partner through this. As you look at standing up Joint Regional Security Stack, we look at, again, looking at the entire network of putting a couple there in the Southwest Asia, a couple in Europe, and then 11 here in the CONUS base. I believe three, don't quote me on three, in the Pacific, but we're looking at, again, a total of 23 Joint Regional Security Stacks that will harden the network, provide, again, a top-level security, joint top-level security that be managed by DISA. We have begun talks with the Navy to look at their interests. Our desire is, at the end of this journey, that we have all of the service participating in that. But again, right now, we have a very good partnership and dialogue with DISA, the Air Force, of course, the acquisition community, as we move forward.
Very good news. I think anytime you can get those two services or any two services kind of walking a very similar path, that's going to be helpful for everyone. We got to take another quick break. When we come back, you mentioned application rationalization. We'll get into that as well as some of your new priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Robert Farrell, the Army CIO in G6. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Robert Farrell, the Army CIO and G6. Now, sir, before break, we were talking a lot about the camps, posts, and stations network modernization going 10 times more bandwidth for the camps, posts, stations, 100 times more bandwidth for the backbone. Part of that as well is data center consolidation, and add one more layer to that is apps rationalization. There was a goal at one time of getting rid of up to 2,000 to 3,000 apps. Just give us an update. What's the status of that effort?
You know, we've identified over 10,000 applications, and we have retired thus far about 750 as of early May. We plan to retire more than 30% of the known application, with a stretch of goal of about 50%. The Army will publish a policy memorandum this summer to be signed by the Undersecretary of the Army, mandating that enterprise application be modernized, virtualized, and migrate to a DoD-approved enterprise hosting facilities. Our goal is to get enterprise applications into the DoD facilities no later than the end of FY 2018. We are applying lessons learned by tracking data center closures to track application rationalizations. As I mentioned, to date, we have closed about 235 data centers and about 107% of this fiscal year's goal, and we estimate cost savings of over $30 million. The Army leads DoD and will probably continue to move forward in consolidating our data centers effort. As the applications will depend on Windows XP, they are a small fraction of the IT portfolio, and we are rapidly migrating them as well. This is a part of our overall aggressive push to rationalize and modernize Army applications.
Real quick, going back to the memo, when you talk about the, I know it still has to be signed out, so it's still in process, so maybe there's a few things that are still sensitive, but the goal here is to say you cannot host apps locally. We want you to host them in an enterprise way so everybody has access to them, so you don't buy the same app I do, but you didn't know I had that app, so you wouldn't spend money. Is that the theory behind it?
That is exactly the theory on what we're trying to do. It would be a huge cost savings. One, to define the baseline applications that the Army needs to use, will use, and then move those into the cloud. And as you upgrade or annually, it'll be a one-time cost versus trying to figure out who needs to do what annually.
Very good. Something to look out for in the coming months. We've talked a lot about some of your older priorities. I'm sure you marbled in some of your new ones. Let's talk about those new priorities, including the JIE, mobility, and anything else you want to get done over the next 6 or 9 months. So tell us what's on your list.
Well, let me first talk about priorities since I've become the CIO in G6. I've outlined five, and these build on the great modernization work completed over the last couple of years. My first priority is providing signal capabilities to the force, which includes optimizing the signal regimen as well. We are going to focus on improving the signal operations and the employment of signal forces to meet the needs of the Army. We are going to assess and advise on doctrine, force structure, equipping, and training concepts across the expeditionary, enterprise, and cyber forces. My second priority is we're going to enhance cybersecurity operations. We're diving into the cybersecurity strategy, policy, resourcing, and doctrine to optimize and enable network defense and the network management and operations. My next priority is that we are increasing network throughput and ensuring sufficient computing infrastructure to improve warfighting and business operations. Right now, we're focused on upgrading IT infrastructure and legacy switches to handle more capacities, faster in throughput that I discussed earlier in the conversation. My fourth priority is delivering IT services to the edge. We're leading the development of strategy, policy, resourcing, and change management for the transition of IT users from local implementation to an enterprise capability. This will provide a consistent end-to-end user experience. Last priority is strengthening the network operations, or NetOps. We're diving into strategy, policy, resourcing, and integrate architect framework and data strategy to optimize the end-to-end NetOps. The bottom line is to properly enable Army missions and achieve the strategic land power vision, which is the network must have increased operational effectiveness, improved security, and be more efficient. Our workforce must provide the necessary support to install, operate, maintain, defend, and protect the network from the enterprise to the installation to the tactical edge.
All right, sir. It sounds like we could talk much longer, but we're unfortunately out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Lieutenant General Robert Farrell, the Army CIO and G6. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
Well, thank you, Jason. I just ask that the audience will please keep our soldiers, civilians, and contractors that are continued deployed in harm's way in their thoughts and prayers. Speed for their success and speedy recovery back to their home. Thanks again. Army strong.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.